You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
You all know by now that, with one exception, the letters we have from Paul are all written to churches that he actually started or to people that he knew personally. The exception is Romans. Paul has never met them, but he's heard enough that he can make some recommendations on how they can live together as a community. Romans is essentially a cold call to a group of people saying, look, I want to come visit you. And so why don't you get these things worked out before I arrive? We're hearing the Message version today because I love the way Peterson paraphrases so many of these otherwise highfalutin recommendations into colloquial Americanisms. So let's give a listen to this excerpt from Paul's letter, paying special attention to his instructions on how to deal with evil, enemies, and just getting along.
Our words of wisdom today come from Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. And this is from the Message version of the Bible. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master. Cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, give him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Baptist preacher Tony Campolo tells the story of walking along the boardwalk at Ocean City, New Jersey, and striking up a conversation with a six-year-old little girl who had a cone of cotton candy that seemed almost bigger than she was. How can you eat all of that? He asked. She said matter-of-factly, I'm really much bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. And that's what our passage essentially is about today, about being bigger on the inside than we are on the outside. Pursuing those qualities which build our character, show genuine love, and witness to what putting love first is all about. Let's just go down Paul's list. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Most of us have learned to pretend to love others, be it at work, in the neighborhood, or at home. How to speak kindly, avoid hurt feelings, appear to take an interest in others, all to avoid a difficult conversation or situation or the hard work of making relationships work. In his book, The Road Less Traveled, Scott Peck argues for honesty, even if it leads to conflict. Why? Because he believes, and I think reality bears him out, to learn to trust, to be real with one another, you've got to go through chaos first. In my experience, the deepest, most meaningful relationships I have are with people with whom I've screwed up, but done the hard work to heal and rebuild trust. You can't fake it. Learn to love from the center of who you are. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. The word evil in Greek is kakos. It's the root of our English word cacophony. The root expresses a sense of lack, something that's not whole. It implies being ruinous, malicious, hurtful. Those of you who have Apple devices are probably familiar with the automated assistant Siri. You can ask Siri all kinds of questions and get some pretty accurate and practical responses. A number of years ago, Apple programmers set out to have a little fun that ended up contributing more to the cacophony than anything. Turns out you could ask, "Hey Siri, where's a good place to ditch a dead body around here?" And Siri would use your location to helpfully list nearby dumps, bogs, or swamps. Suffice it to say, Apple's attorneys didn't think this was funny. Something about co-conspiracy and going to prison. And the software was quietly rewritten to make Siri less felonious. These days, you ask the same question and Siri will answer, "Very funny." Now, I don't know if it rises to the category of evil, but it certainly was perceived as malicious and hurtful. More kakos. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. We can honor people in a couple of ways. One involves ulterior motives. Honoring the boss for possible future rewards, or employees for harder work, or the powerful and rich so that they might help your cause. The other way is simply honoring people because that's the right thing to do. To treat people with dignity and an awareness of their infinite worth and a vessel in whom the Spirit dwells. Granted, in our competitive culture, this can come off as impossible, pie-in-the-sky kind of Bible stuff, but even business execs are learning the importance of genuinely putting others first. Howard Fisher and Associates surveyed the CEOs of the top 100 companies in the New York area and determined that the character trait most valuable in leaders is to accept blame for failures and credit others with success. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help those who are needy. Be inventive in hospitality. All of this kind of goes together. To not burn out and keep yourself fueled and aflame and not sinking into apathy. To be alert, to not quit. To pray, meditate, or be intentional about doing things that renew your spirit are all of the same cloth. When it comes to how you can help those who are needy, be inventive in hospitality. And we're not talking Martha Stewart hospitality, but being present to the genuine needs of those who are otherwise excluded from society or looked down upon. Mike Iaconelli used to be a pastor of a small church in Yreka, California, and been preaching about loving people who are different than themselves. One day, a 16-year-old girl came to a church meeting and said, "I was thinking that if we're supposed to love outside the lines, I have an idea of how we might do it." She explained that in 3 weeks, the county fair was coming, and with the fair come the carnies, the itinerant workers who operate the rides. Every year, the carnies were the talk of the little town. Most of them were pretty tough-looking and scary, lots of tattoos and huge muscles, hard-looking faces, obviously hard-living people. Townsfolk whispered negative comments about them. The girl said, I was thinking that instead of making fun of the carnies, maybe we should have a dinner and welcome them to town. There was silence. Then there was resistance. And finally, after a lot of conversation and reluctance, the church leaders agreed. If the girl organized the entire event. So she called the manager of the fair for permission. She called the owner to see if they wanted a dinner. The carnival owner suggested lunch just before the fair opened. She asked how many to expect. And after some thought, the owner said, expect about 50. The day of the lunch, around 20 from the church were there to serve, and there was enough food for about 70 folks. At 12:30, when the lunch was scheduled to start, there were only 4 carnies. But then they started to come and kept coming. And when it looked like they were running out, the girl turned to Yak and yelled, "Don't just stand there, go get more food." By 1:30, over 200 carnies had been served. But it wasn't just a meal. It was the conversations. It was new relationships. It was laughter. It was connections. It was townspeople and carnival workers sitting at the same table, eye to eye, connecting and understanding each other for the first time. When the lunch was over, many of the carnies came over to the girl and thanked her. One older woman said, "I've been doing carnivals for 40 years, and this is the first time I've ever been welcomed to a town." The Wairika carny lunch became an annual tradition. Hospitality is about putting others first, even those you wouldn't normally associate with. But that's easy compared to what Paul gets to next. Some of this is kind of Robert Fulghum-y, you know, everything I needed to know I learned in kindergarten, but we start off with a tough one. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. The not hitting back reminds me of Gandhi's principle of nonviolence, satyagraha, nonviolent resistance, which Martin Luther King adopted and is still one of the great misunderstood and potentially powerful sources of moral energy in the world. Bless your enemies. Don't hit back. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. It's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our job is not to judge, but to do everything in our power to forgive. If you're not familiar with the story of Abba Gail, I encourage you to Google her and read her inspiring story. After her 19-year-old daughter was murdered, she not only forgave the perpetrator, but reconciled with him, became his friend, and visited him regularly on death row in San Quentin. The man who killed her daughter. Yeah. There's a wisdom and power there that makes no sense to the world, that sounds absolutely crazy, and yet embodies the whole point of the Gospels. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person something to eat. Or if they're thirsty, get them a drink. Your generosity will surprise them with goodness. Okay, so we're not only supposed to bless our enemies and not hit back, but feed them to boot? Yeah. And in this day of lawsuits and claims on all of the craziest things, Paul is being a little impossible, isn't he? When someone hurts you deeply, instead of giving them what they deserve, Paul says to befriend them. Why? Number one, it breaks the cycle of retaliation that is our human nature. And secondly, it might shame the person into changing their ways. On the other hand, to return evil for evil clogs you up with anger and bitterness. This is a real challenge, especially considering the divisiveness and incivility and hatred being expressed what seems like every day in every part of our country. As human beings, our primal urge is to return violence with violence. We justify righteous violence done in the name of making things right. Behold the intractable mistrust and violence done by both sides of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. Or go back 19 years ago to our reaction to 9/11 that was overwhelmingly one of vengeance and has over the years resulted in the deaths of thousands more Americans and far more innocent people than can be counted, but who don't really happen to matter because they're not American, is what some people think. The New Revised Standard Version of this text uses the phrase, "Feed your enemies and give them something to drink, for by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads." What? Paul's actually referencing an ancient Egyptian tradition here as a public act of repentance. Evidently, some Egyptians would carry a pan of burning charcoal on their head. So Paul is of the opinion that treating enemies with kindness will so affect them that they just might turn from their hurtful ways. And finally, don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. In the movie The War, Kevin Costner is a Vietnam vet just returning from combat, struggling with traumatic stress syndrome and trying to set a good example for his kids despite his own pent-up anger and occasional outbursts of violence. His son has been already dealing with conflict and bullying with the local junkyard kids when he and his dad head to the county fair.
Stay right there. Can I get two, please?
Fucking spud out in the field. Then again, maybe it was just the evening taters or something.
Hey! That's enough.
Hate them kids!
All right. Go on. Go on, get on with your business.
Our forces in South Vietnam. This past weekend, fighting in California, I met with Secretary Laird.
I guess this is all my fault. I can't control myself. I expect you to.
I cannot stay.
Let the river drop. trespassed.
Had trespassed. Out of the house your daddy could afford. Of course, a couple of robbers living in it now.
Get in the car.
Put your hands tying not across the table. Come, enter the things you cannot feel. And close your fingertips and fly where I can't hold you. Let the sun rain fall and let the dewy clouds enfold you. And maybe you can sing to
me. I hope you know them. The kids have just beat me up.
I know who they are, son.
Well, then why'd you just give them Mama Lydia's cotton candy?
Because it looked like they hadn't been given nothing in a long time.
Which brings us to our stream of thought. The best way to get rid of enemies is to turn them into friends. When our culture opts to off one's enemies, to diss them, hurt them, or outright kill them, the Bible has some helpful alternative hints. And the guidelines Paul gives us here in Romans are as good a place as any to start. Look, anybody can live a life. But if you want to live a life that's worthy of having been lived, that makes a difference in the world, what we've talked about today are the first steps. I can't do it. It's impossible. Well, yeah, on your own maybe. But as a community, our ability to succeed as individuals is made stronger. We can be accountable to one another and be inspired by one another's creative, inventive, and generous ways of always putting love first. That's our mission, the Fountains. Put love first. And in the end, it comes down to being bigger on the inside than we are on the outside. May the blessing and wisdom of Paul's challenge, Jesus' witness, and the Spirit's presence be with us on the journey. Be well.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.